We thank you that you are a benevolent God. And Father, we thank you that we can rejoice when we put you first. And Lord, we thank you for the multiple blessings that you have given us. And Lord, I know the personal story about what Steve and Angela have just shared with the telephone. And who gets a $1,200 telephone for free? But Lord, we know that you're a miracle-working God when we obey your laws. And so, Father, I pray today over every person that as they sow into your kingdom, that they will reap, because that is the word of God. And we pray financial prosperity, regardless of the season, over every person's life. And I pray, Father, that people would step out into new work, into new houses, into whatever new they need, because you, at the end of the day, give them the desires of their heart. The people of God said, amen. Awesome. All right. Well, good to be back speaking. I think it's been three Sundays before I've spoken, and I've had many people look at me a bit strange. It's because I've had 9 skin cancers taken off this week, and so that's, if you're wondering why I didn't actually get the razor blade out and start cutting myself. So just in case you're wondering, and and so about those of you who know have been in church a long time, I'll just get it out of the way for my own self-conscious so I can preach better, that I every year I have a skin specialist appointment, and sometimes it has to be every 6 months because, I've just got fair skin and I was an outdoors guy. Well, I still am an outdoors guy, so I try and look after myself. My wife and my family would like to keep me around a bit longer. And so because of that, he said, I don't have to come back for another year. So that's good. So it was worth getting the 9 lesions, whatever they call them, before they get too bad, take it out. So there you go. So thank you, Claire. That's awesome. Have faith in God. Turn to your neighbour and say, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Now, I have changed this message from when I gave it to Claire. So, Abriella, you can just bear with me. It's all good. Mark 11, come with me, verse 21. Who thinks having faith in God is paramount? Oh, I'm glad about that. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here, would we? We wouldn't be worshipping him. And so Mark 11, 21, there's a really interesting scripture, and I find it quite, I don't know that I've ever really got my head around the whole thing, and I still probably don't, but I've got a little bit more understanding now that I'm more mature. And so Mark 11, 21 says this. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. And if you go back to, am I in the right? I did the wrong one, didn't I? I forgot the fig tree altogether. And Mark, let's try again. And Peter remembering, is that the one? Yes, there it is. All right. And Peter remembering, it's still the same passage. And Peter remembering said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Peter is a little surprised that the day before Jesus went to look for some fruit to eat on a tree. Jesus was hungry. Who knows, when you're hungry and you see what looks to be fruit, you want to go and eat it. Have you ever been in one of those situations? I did it the other day. We had gone out, Andrea and I, on one Saturday a few weeks ago to a winery that we like. And on the way back, I stopped the car in a hurry because there were these beautiful big lemons on a tree on this guy's I don't know if it was a guy's property. I think it was a winery's property. And I just went and got a couple of their lemons and thought, there was so many lemons. They're on the floor. They won't miss a couple of lemons. No one's ever done that? And so I put them in the car, and I had a beautiful lemon cake, which my wife made me, and it was lovely. And anyway, so but Jesus goes to this tree thinking, because I've looked up the research on this, thinking that even though it was not quite the season for figs, that it could have been an early fruit tree. It could have been fruiting because it had all the signs. The leaves were there and looked like it could have been. And he got to it and there was no fruit on it. Who knows that God has power? Who knows God has the power of creation? And so whatever he says can be or cannot be. He can decreate if he wants to, which is what he did here. And because he's God. And so he doesn't find any fruit on the tree, and he looks at the tree and he says, "You'll never fruit again." And so the next day, Peter and the disciples never thought much of it, but the next day they go past the fig tree again and it's starting to wither. It's drying up. It's not going to live actually anymore. And so a person who has a strong faith, does anyone want to have strong faith? Finish strong in this year or into the next year. Who knows that strong faith is often, it comes through a lot of difficulties. Oh, really? And so a person who has a strong faith is someone who doesn't just look like a Christian by going through the motions. It may be church, coming to church. It might be prayer. It might be Bible reading. These things on their own may not grow a person's faith. And Jesus, I'll try and explain this with the fig tree. See, faith in God will always produce something. Faith in God will always. Who'd like to produce some fruit for God? And so, this is my first point that's not the first point on the slides. So just listen up, is relationship first. Turn to your neighbor and say, relationship first. See, Jesus cursed the fig tree because what he expected to find was actually fruitfulness, but it was fruitless. And the thing that produces fruit in our lives is our ongoing walk with the Lord. Our relationship with Jesus is the most crucial factor in our life. Now, Pastor Darren, who enjoyed Pastor Darren's stories last week? Oh, he's a funny man. A very serious topic, and he made it funny. I don't know how he does that, but anyway, he's got a gift. Darren's church, as we heard for those of you who were here last night, was close to being unsalvageable. He was very honest in what he was talking about last week. I think you would agree. And he had to find alternative employment. Yet what I have heard was, when I was listening to him, and obviously Andrew and I are friends with Darren and Janelle, so we know a bit of the story, but rather than get angry with God, rather than get bitter because of what people had done to them, Darren remained in relationship with the Lord, and that not only got him through multiple years of troubling times, but through it, CC Crawley this morning has their first service in a new facility. And ultimately, in fact, it's this afternoon, the service, not this morning, because they're sharing with another church. But ultimately, amidst all the mistakes, who knows, you and I are going to make mistakes. Amidst all the mistakes, amidst all the troubles and hardship, God gets the glory. And so, Mark 11, 23, 24, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. So Jesus was talking about a withered tree and now he's talking about mountains. And does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, is anyone a believing prayer this morning? Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will. Who believes that? Put your hand up. Who believes that? Okay, so if we believe that, are you really confident in asking God for the things of your desires of your heart? What would you like to see happen in the next 5 years with your family? Have faith in God. So Peter was talking about a withered fig tree he was quite surprised about. And he missed the point that Jesus has the key to death and life. And has been from beginning to end. He alone has the power to decreate or create because it's his nature. In the beginning, God created. And Jesus therefore said, have faith in God. Because he alone has the power to bring life into every troubling and difficult situation that you are facing. Faith in this respect cannot be religious. If I do this, if I do that, if I only do that, then God will love me. If I only just do that, I know that I'm on the right path to heaven. That's religion. It's not saying that we shouldn't read our Bible. It's not saying we shouldn't pray. We should do all those things. But there is something that is the crux of everything we do, and it's our relationship with him. Because otherwise, it's just meaningless. It's something that you and I have determined to live our life by. It's a conscious decision to trust him no matter what. Can we trust him no matter what? Have faith in God, trust him no matter what. And one of the greatest things you have in your world is faith. And so when Jesus says to Peter, have faith in God, four words, it's quite amazing what it actually means, as I've tried to describe. We are to move into faith and be in faith all of our believing lives. And the Bible says in Romans 12:3 that everyone has faith. And that's why we can come to Christ. We have faith. We are made in his image. We have some faith. And so the next point I want to make is this, that faith comes through the Word of God. Faith comes what? Through the Word of God. And so Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So when you hear the Word of God, faith starts to rise on the inside of your spirit. It's one of the great things of coming together as a local church, isn't it? Because faith starts to rise on the inside. But as soon as we move away from faith, we will try and impress God. Who's ever tried to impress God? I think we've all been there, haven't we? We tried to do it on our own. Oh, I'm pretty talented. I could do this, this, and this. Problem was, God wasn't with you. It's good to consult him. And that's the relationship part that I think sometimes we miss as human beings. The Bible's clear, we can't impress God with anything except faith. We can't impress God with anything except anything, therefore, apart from faith, withers and dies. Ephesians 2:8. By grace, you have been saved through faith. We don't need to finish it. By grace, you have been saved. Is anyone grateful for the amazing grace of God? We sing that song, don't we? Amazing grace. Through faith. When my daughter was living at home with us, in our home not far from here, around the corner, I went with my daughter when she was getting her license. In fact, I taught my daughter how to drive. Don't blame me that she's not a good driver, okay? Taught both my children to drive. Anyway, they were getting their license. She was getting her license to drive, and Andrea and I decided we better help her and buy a car for her. And she had her eyes set on this very unusual vehicle, I thought, for a woman, and sort of like a half little Jeep thing. And I bought it for her because who knows, you do what your kids want most of the time. You want to help them out. The car was a lemon. A good-looking car on the outside, really shiny, nice blue colour, beautiful. Inside looked good too, but everything else about the car, it was withered underneath. And apart from its mechanical woes, which were plentiful, I think it cost me more to get the car fixed than I bought the car for. It had a strange problem. Unless we drove the car frequently, the battery would go flat. I had added Sarah's car to Andrea and my family, whatever you call it, RAC, which was a good thing. And so we had the breakdown service, and they were used multiple... I cannot even remember how many times we used them for this car. Anyone had a car like that? No, you're all too clever. I'm the only dumb one that does what my daughter wants because she likes the look of it. All right. Well, who knows? Anyway, so the RAC, the first time the battery goes flat, comes out, and he goes, the battery's fine. It's a true story. Andrea's here as my witness. He goes, the battery's fine. And I'm like, well, it can't be fine because it's... Anyway, I've charged it up. Just drive it around a bit. You'll have no more problems. Anyway, overnight, I don't know if Sarah used the car the next day or not. But a couple of days later, she goes to start the car. Nothing. Called the RAC again. Now, this is a short version. It's fine, they say again to me. The man, the RAC mechanic, just drive it around for a little while. And I'm thinking, this can't be fine. But, you know, I'm not a mechanic. Maybe I should take his advice. Maybe Sarah, I don't know, is Sarah negative or something and not helping the back? I don't know. Anyway. So Sarah drove the car, and she used to take kids to youth, actually, and that was fine for a bit longer. And then she went away for a few days again. I had to call the RAC again. This time the car's in the garage, and we were on a bit of a steep hill, and I couldn't get the car out. Andrea had gone away somewhere. It's nearly Christmas. I ring the RAC. The RAC goes, we're so flat out, I can't get there till 1 a.m. in the morning. I'm like, you're kidding me. Anyway, I'm so disturbed because this is like multiple times, and every time I get the car, the battery's fine. So I used to, in that house, because the kids were at home, I used to pray in the garage. And because of the difficulties I was having with this shiny, blue, nice-looking vehicle that was a lemon underneath, was withered and dying, I laid my hands on the bonnet. It's a true story. And I said, in Jesus' name, help me with this car. I can't put any more money into it. I just talked like, and can you give me a bit of a clue to what's going on? And I hear this little voice, which I presume was God, because it was a positive. And the voice said, check the alarm. And whoever argues back to God? Never? You never done that? I says, I disabled the alarm, you know that. He goes, check the alarm. So the RAC comes out at 1 a.m. in the morning, and because I've got it, it's Christmas time, it's Christmas Eve, you know, Sarah wanted the car. And so I'm there, Sarah's sleeping. dad's doing all the work. Anyway, another story. And so he goes, it's fine. I couldn't believe it. He goes, just drive it around for a little while, it'll be okay. I go, no. And I heard the voice back from praying. And I said to the gentleman, the nice RAC mechanic, I says, can you please check the alarm? And he said the same thing that I'd already said to God. He said, it's been disabled. I says, no, yes, no. I didn't know what to say. And I says, can you check the wiring underneath? So he checks the wiring underneath. And he goes, oh. So he's upside down underneath now under the dash. And he goes, oh, it's one of those old alarms that's still draining the battery. Thank you, God. God knew more than the mechanic. God knew more than me. No more problems after that day. Not that problem. I had a true story. Someone else bought the car because Sarah ended up going east coast. So I tried to sell it to a dealer, and the dealers just shake their head. I'm not going anywhere near it. So I ended up putting it on Gumtree. I put it on a really reasonable price, under half what I'd bought it for, only, I don't know, a year or so later. The guy had been sold on the car about three more times, and one of the guys finds my number, the original owner, thought that I was the original owner, and says, I've replaced the gearbox. I said, but I already did that. So this car has so many issues. And gearboxes aren't cheap. And so I don't know how many. Anyway, another story. The point is, have faith in God. Have faith in God. I should. Okay. I feel rebuked. I should have prayed before I got anywhere near that car. But here's the thing. We need to keep ourselves in an atmosphere where the power of God travels. And there are ways that we can do that. It's great that you're here in church. Yeah? It's great that you go to Connect Group. Who knows you help one another when you're in Connect Group? So much. So much. And you guys help me too, Carol. So much. Worship every day. Now, Andrea likes to play lots of music. I don't mind if there's no music ever. But I do like to pray to him. I do like to talk, have conversations with God. And sometimes people probably think I'm a little crazy because who are you talking to? But there is a God, and I'm talking to him. Pray with your spouse. If you're not doing that, I'd say start doing it. It will help your life. And sometimes we get busy and we've got kids and everything else. If you can't do it every day, at least do it once a week. Pray with your spouse. If you haven't got a spouse, you've got God and he's your father. Ask God to forgive you every day of your life. One of the first things you do when you get up, ask him to forgive you. Lord, I need help. Forgive me for the things that I've said or done, or you know what it is. The thing is, see, if you are mostly negative, mostly doubting, it's going to be extremely difficult for God to get into your world. So we need the word of God so that we can stay positive. Another point, and I'll be quick on this one because Darren and John did a marvellous job of this the last couple of weeks. You need faith when you need faith. You don't need faith when you don't need faith. When everything is going well, you don't need faith. You don't need to believe God. It's like the car. Whilst it was going along well, I didn't need faith. But when it turned negative and I got no response, when the power went out of the cells, I had faith in the RAC. But as it turned out, I needed more faith in God than I needed in the RAC. And that wasn't a bad thing. When a problem hits, who's got a problem? Anyone got a problem? Most of you got, some of you got two hands up. I've got everything up, okay? So when a problem hits, that is when you need faith. But have you ever found with a problem that the problem tries to overwhelm your faith? When problems come into your world, you can allow yourself to do two things. And the first one is you can do nothing. You can put your head in the sand. All the phlegmatics here. But the problem's still there and it will consume you. It can eat you up. Or two, you can go to God and give it over to Him. You can what? And? It's a process of allowing Him to take the problem. Hebrews 10:23. I'm using a few verses today. Let us hold fast. Turn to your neighbor and say, hold fast. The confession of our hope. That's faith. Without wavering, for he who promised is, he who promised is. So when the problems keep coming, we keep believing. Say it with me, when the problems keep coming, I will keep believing. When the problems keep coming, I will keep believing. Hold fast. Hold fast means to hold fast. I looked it up. It actually does mean hold fast. When you hold fast, you are not letting go. So if my friend David Langlands was falling off the side of a cliff, I would grab his arm so tight, and it wouldn't matter if I actually, all the circulation went out of, sorry, I'm pushing a bit hard there. I would want to hold on to him. I wouldn't want him to go over the cliff. So I'm going to hold fast with everything I've got, and if it rips my socket out of my shoulder, then I'm going to do everything I can to pull him back up. I'm going to hold fast to my God. Whenever there is a problem, there is an opportunity to believe God. Another point, motoring through them now, anxiety and worry will steal our faith. Who's never worried in their life before? Who knows that the Bible says not to worry and that you still worry? I don't understand that verse, but anyway. Here's the thing though. We can be unbelieving believers or we can be believing believers. Hebrews 11:6. Who knows that Hebrews 11 is a great faith passage? All right, so, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So God loves it when we do what? Believe. God loves it when we believe. God gets happy. He kind of has a little party when you're believing in him. You're looking up to him. You're living like a king saying, God, I'm trusting you. You've got this. I'm your child, but I know the power that you have. I'm a king's kid, if you like. And so we may be downtrodden by others. We may not know the way out of a problem, but with God, I have my foot on the problems. I have my foot on the enemy, on the devil. I have my foot on sickness and disease. I have my foot on circumstances beyond my control because I trust God. I believe in him regardless of my own circumstances. I'm trusting you, Lord. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I have been born again. I am an overcomer. I have the same DNA as Jesus. I am going to live my life through him. So, another point, speak the word of God. Faith is an issue of the heart, not just of the head. RAC guy. No, everything's okay. But when I went to God, he spoke into my heart, into my Jesus DNA, into my spirit, and there was the answer. Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. When you start speaking things, it will change the way you think. Lord, I thank you that you've got hold of everything in my life. And I had this situation that I had to overcome. Let's just talk about my skin cancers for a second. My dad died this time next year in my life, 58 years old. I'm 50, coming up 57. He died at 58. I had to go to God and actually say, Lord, I thank you that I have your DNA and that I don't have to have the same result as him because I trust in you. And although they didn't have the medicine or the facilities that they do now, and I'm grateful for the prevention, obviously you've got to do what the doctors ask and do those things. But Lord, I still had to because there's a lot of anxiety and there's a lot of fear when the doctor goes through all your family history and goes, it's not looking good. But you go to God and you take it to him, and I thank you, Lord, that I'm going to live a long life. It's not just speaking, it's speaking and believing. Can we stand to our feet, church? And if yeah, thanks, Catherine. So we need to charge ourselves up. Why don't we just put our hands out to God? Lord, I thank you for who you are. And that when we have issues, when we have mistakes that we may have made even ourselves, when there are things in our world that we cannot control, when there are bigger problems than we can face in our life, or we feel that we can face in our life, Lord, I thank you that you've got us. Why don't you just pray a prayer to God right now about you've got me, Lord? Just pray a prayer. The Bible says, hold fast to the confession of your faith without wavering. Regardless of the challenges, situations I'm in, I will trust you, Lord. relationship is more important than any other thing in my life. My relationship with you is paramount. And that is what Jesus was talking to Peter about with the